and just wasn't making progress with my horse. And so I needed another outlet of support, right, to try and figure out and get through some of those things.
Welcome to the Equine Body Talks podcast. We'll be diving into the equine industry from the lens of a body worker, talking to other equine professionals and discussing scenarios around soft tissue work for all equine athletes. I'm Kim Krebs, your host. I've been working for over 2 decades in this industry as a loper, barn manager, and body worker. With the many horses I've worked with in all of these capacities, it has driven me to want to continually find out the why and the hows of equine biomechanics, health, and performance. My mentor and one of our industry's leaders, Tina Watkins of In-Hand Equine Therapy, will also be sharing hosting duties with me. Tina has been an equestrian her entire life and has dedicated the last 25 years to bringing bodywork forward as a professional career through her business, as well as education and teaching of future and current bodyworkers. This podcast is dedicated to opening the conversation around equine wellness, diving deeper into the whole body approach for equine performance horses. While doing mentorship work, it has become apparent to us that oftentimes an equine body worker will get working on one particular part of the industry and know little or nothing about other sports. So we thought it would be fun to chat with some of the trainers and clients we have who are participating in a variety of disciplines and introduce what we as body workers would be looking at in terms of discipline-specific concerns. Each discipline has their unique set of requirements they need the horses to do, whether it's speed for racing, hard stops for reining, high levels of collection for dressage, or bravery for competitive trail. And while horses are individuals with their own unique conformation and characteristics, along with breed predispositions, each sport they compete in often has specific areas that come up over and over that we need to be aware of. Knowing these can help us then establish programs around how those athletes should be best supported to ensure the longevity they need to compete as soundly as possible. In today's discipline focus, we're going to look at horsemanship, specifically the horsemanship ideals brought forward by Jonathan Fields. Our client, Ilan Hansen, has been a student of his for many years. As you will hear, Ilan came to this from an already established classical training background with years of experience as an accomplished horsewoman. But it was her love of one particular horse that took her into a journey of discovery. Ilan currently owns 2 lovely geldings with whom she practices the principles she has taught through the Jonathan Fields method, as well as working in her sports of jumping and dressage. Ilan has been a client of In-Hand Equine Therapy for many years and is a dedicated owner who constantly strives to learn more about the relationship she has with her horses, as well as ways to give them the best opportunities to excel in their lives. Let's have a listen.
What was it that you first got interested in, hearing about Jonathan, his work, and what was it that kind of made you go, oh, I want to learn more about that?
Sure. So at the time, I had a very difficult horse and struggling with, I don't want to say conventional training, but working with multiple trainers in jumping disciplines and dressage disciplines, and just wasn't making progress with my horse. And so I needed another outlet of support, right, to try and figure out and get through some of those things. And so didn't reach out to Jonathan, but his clinics were coming, and so signed up, and I really had no idea what I was getting myself into, to be honest. Signed up for one of his clinics, and it was a very big eye-opener on my skills as a horsewoman and my capabilities, thinking that I know it all and can do it all and been there, done that. I've been riding horses for such a long time, and then realizing the things that my horses needed from me in order to improve.
Right.
That's what got me started with him.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's neat to hear that you were already in a sport.
Yes.
And just so the listeners know, like, you were doing well at that sport. It's not like you were failing at the sport itself.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I have a history in hunter jumpers for many, many years. I started in Pony Club as a young rider and a done dressage eventing hunter jumper for many years, and then transitioned because with my current horse, we were struggling with jumping and thought we were going to get in a wreck if we went and showed and that sort of stuff. So we sort of switched gears and thought, well, let's go to dressage and build some confidence, get some really good flat and groundwork going, and then we can transition back to jumping if or when the time comes. And again, getting very good support and lessons from those people and, you know, making progress. It wasn't like the horse and I were unable to do it, but just confidence building. And there were some dangerous tendencies in my horse at the time that I wasn't really aware of. You think, this is no big deal, I'm experienced, I can handle it. And then, you know, I went to a clinic with Cindy Ishoy, a very high-level dressage rider, and really had my eyes opened when my horse was like, I'm just not doing this anymore. He sort of really shut down. And I'm like, wait a minute, we've been training and riding and lessoning and doing all these things, and went to this very high level clinic. And my eyes opened when I couldn't get my horse off a 10-meter circle and he started bucking and rearing, and it was like, I need help.
Right.
I need some help, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it wasn't like we were unsuccessful in our current disciplines. It was, we need more tools in the toolbox to help us move forward in whatever discipline we're going to choose.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I like about Jonathan. I mean, I've seen over the years lots and lots of horsemanship trainers, but listening to Jonathan, his big thing is he doesn't want to take away your sport and switch you to a horsemanship person. He's about understanding the horse and excelling in your sport.
That's
so
right.
Can you talk just a bit more about that? Because I think a lot of people that are in a sport, they think, oh, horsemanship stuff, that's for people that have the, you know, the sticks and the whatever, you know, and they're, and that's what they're doing.
Yes.
Whereas this isn't that, is it?
No. And I sort of had the same thought process when I heard horsemanship. Natural horsemanship, I thought, those are the cowboys that have the halters and the sticks and they go do the things in the round pen. Like, I had no idea, but had that vision in my mind. The nice thing about horsemanship is that it doesn't matter what discipline you're in, it doesn't matter what type of horse you have, who you are. It's giving you those tools in your toolbox, so to speak, to build the communication between horse and rider, to have a good relationship that's built on trust and communication, to make your horse more confident, more smarter, more braver, so that you can go and excel in whatever discipline you want to do. And I always say to people, my horses, they'll jump, they'll do dressage, we can put on a Western saddle, we'll do Western dressage, we can rope. Like, give them the tools that if there's something you want to do with your horse, you can go and do, because you've got that relationship and you've got those communication skills that you can go do whatever you want and it'll just help you excel in whatever discipline you want to do. It's not discipline specific. It doesn't matter what saddle you use, what bridle you use, what clothes you wear.
Yeah.
It's giving you those basic communication skills between horse and rider, really.
Right. Because we often talk about having the team approach to the wellness aspect. So you have your veterinarians, your body workers, your different modalities within the body work that you will incorporate for one horse. But you don't often hear about that sort of team approach when it comes to training, do we? It's you're with a trainer and you stick to that program. Yeah. And if it doesn't work, then you switch trainers completely and you go to another trainer or another discipline or whatnot.
Right.
So I think this is such a cool, it's not a new concept, but I love what this all entails in terms of sort of bringing that same emphasis that we keep putting on the team approach to wellness and putting it towards the training and helping find those spots, because I don't think that anybody would really be able to argue the fact that no matter what you're in terms of how the horse has been started, there always can be a chance that there's been a hole that's been missed, a step.
Yep.
And not that it's because of poor horsemanship or poor training on whoever started them, but, you know, we all get into sort of our areas of expertise and we all kind of get down that road of, this is my way of doing things. And because horses are so individual, a lot of horses that might be totally fine for. But then you'll have certain ones, like the one that of yours that you're talking about, maybe there was a little bit of a step that was missed, or he needed a little bit more time in one direction that, you know, wasn't afforded to him at that time.
Yeah, and I mentor with Jonathan year round, but I will go and take jumping lessons throughout the year with a jumping coach. I've taken dressage lessons with a dressage coach and still get that specialized training, but it all works together to do better in whatever you want to do, even if it's trail riding, taking your horse down the road. You don't need to be doing a discipline specific thing. It gives you those abilities to throw your horse on the trailer and haul out to the mountains if you want to go mountain riding, right? You need skills for that too. So it's just an all-round sort of foundation.
Well, and you talked a little earlier about the word communication, and I think when I've seen Jonathan and I've listened to a couple of his tapes and seen him teach, that's his big thing, is looking for clues, or maybe the better word is cues, that the horse is giving you.
Yeah.
Can you describe to us a little bit, not to go too in-depth, but just about what changed for you when you learned about the different communication with the horse?
Right, so I had known that my horse lacked confidence before I had gone into sort of horsemanship and mentoring with Jonathan. I knew he had a lack of confidence. I didn't realize how much or how scared he was of things, and I didn't know what to do to give him that confidence or be that leader for him to show him how to get over that. So those were a lot of like the initial things that sort of really opened my eyes, was that the horses are speaking to you all the time, whether they're overconfident and in your face and maybe pushing you around, which was something I didn't realize as well. My horse was fairly easy on the ground to walk around and move around, but a lot of the time he was probably on the verge of running me over, which I wasn't privy to. But then the other thing was, when they're not confident, showing them a way to build confidence, to get over things without over-facing them, over-pressuring them, working with them in a way that they understand, so they are getting more confident or braver, or they learn to respect your space as a leader.
Huge. And I know, because when I started working with you, your horse was quite tender, and a lot of it was because as he started to emerge and he let down, his body started to change. So yes, we had some postural things to work on, but knowing that horse from the beginning, because when I first met you, you were just starting down this journey, but we were also investigating to see if the horse was acting out from pain, which is an excellent horse owner thing to be looking at. But like for me as a body worker, to see how he's changed is huge. What would be some of the things that you could say just off the top of your head are night and day difference from just starting to understand him better?
Like you mentioned, with his body and how he felt when you first worked on him, there was so much tension in there. And I think a lot of it was emotional. There was some postural thing, but it was emotional because he didn't know how to relax. He didn't know how to let down because he was so unconfident. His body was always in tension. So, you know, the biggest thing that I've noticed with him, and he's a completely different horse, is that he has learned how to mentally work through things, you know, with the support of me, but I've also given him the tools to work through things so that he can be comfortable in his environment and work through things and still feel good in his own skin at the end of the day. When I look at him now, he's a happy horse. He's a comfortable horse. He's a thinking horse. And he can work through the things that maybe aren't as confident for him, or work through stressful situations and learn how to relax and carry that, you know, in his world. And so just looking at him and his frame of mind, you don't see a tense and worried horse anymore. You see this confident horse in his own skin, his own body, his environment, that is like, hey, I can work through these things that are sort of faced in front of me in my world.
Yeah, and I think that gets, don't you think that gets missed a lot? Like, now you've been in this program for a long time, probably seen a lot of new people come in with their horses. And I think some horses that either act out like that, so they're, you know, outwardly acting out, or they're so inwardly worried that they're almost turtled inside, you know? And both of those things are where the horse doesn't know how to express itself appropriately, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they, you know, and they rely on us as humans, but sort of their leaders, right? They're always looking for a leader in their herd. And us as leaders to show them help them and show them the way, right? They're looking for the horse that sort of turtled up to release and move forward and be free, right?
Right.
To be a horse or the one that's more outwardly speaking to you. They're still looking for that leader to show them the spot and the place to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think that's another unique thing about the way Jonathan teaches is, and we'll get you maybe to go through it a little bit, but I know he does like a theory aspect and then he does the actual arena work.
Really?
And the other neat thing that I thought is that when he's doing the arena work, it's not just one person in there. You get to look at other people and how they're reacting with their horses because there is multiple people in the class at the same time. So not only are you just learning about how to work your horse, but then you're seeing other horses and how they can change.
Yeah.
Does that really play into how you kind of get entrenched in actually understanding the horse?
Totally. I often, and it might be different for everyone, but I often think when you get to see and watch other people and other horses, you're often learning more. Because you can get so stuck in watching your own horse move and what you're working on. But there's so much to learn from watching someone else do something or watch other horses react and respond to things that you maybe didn't see in your own horse or your own body position. That's a wonderful opportunity to sort of sit back, watch, learn the exercise, watch other horses do their thing or other riders or people do their thing and learn just as much from them. I mean, you can learn just as much sitting on the sidelines as mm-hmm. you can being in there working with your own horse, and you're just learning even more.
Yeah. So you had mentioned that you first started by doing a clinic with Jonathan, but you also have talked to us numerous times about how you've gone to camp with him.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just explain to us sort of what is entailed in terms of somebody that maybe is interested in knowing about his program?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about entry levels to start in at clinics, or is it going to the camps? How does that start with him?
That's right. So Jonathan has different course levels. And it doesn't matter where you are, if you're an experienced and accomplished rider or you're a very beginner, anyone can take one of his clinics. He starts with what he calls a course one, is the very basics. That's on leadership and the communication side of things. So giving you the tools and the understanding of the very basics to keep you and your horse safe. That's course one. And then he builds from there. So everyone will start into a course one, to sort of start learning that foundation and those basic skills. And then as you progress, you can move into, you know, course two, course three, clinics, and progress on your skills and your communication. And the higher you go, the more refined it gets. And then once you've spent some time in that and done a few courses with him, he offers camps out at his ranch in BC. And you can go out there and you spend 5 days with him immersed in horsemanship. And the setting is just completely different. You're not in an arena or in an outdoor space. You're out in the mountains, and it just adds another level. But you're getting a full 5 days with him working on your skills. And he has different camp levels as well for those that want to go to camp. So you, again, start at a camp two, which is sort of an entry level into camp, getting you and your horse used to being in a different environment, that sort of space, and then different levels from there as well to again, focus on refining your skills and your ability.
So with him being in BC and you out here in Alberta, I know that there is like some groups that you guys kind of get together to help each other. What would the support be for somebody that's not with him, you know, that wants to maybe get into something, but they think, oh, well, how am I going to keep this going when they're in a busy barn environment and they don't have anybody else that's maybe looking into something like this?
Yeah, the nice thing about finding sort of the group and you attend one of his clinics or go to one of these camps is that you find like-minded people that are working on the same things, and then you build those connections, and even if you're in BC or Alberta, some people are in Saskatchewan and he has clinics there, is you find these people and then you build those connections to at least have someone to talk to and work through or meet up with throughout the year to say, hey, you know, let's get together, ride with each other, work with each other, see where we're at. So it's great to build that community once you find those like-minded people that are working on the same things that as you are and have those challenges and you can commiserate with or
right.
celebrate with or do all the things with, right? And you find those people and you can haul wherever to ride together. And so there is that support in there when you find those groups of people. And depending where you're located, you sort of build those little connections with where you're at.
Yeah, that's fun. Because it is, it's nice to know that there is, you know, a group out there. Because when you're starting something new, if somebody has just starting to hear about something like this, or they have a horse they're struggling with, and they think it might help them, you know, it feels daunting sometimes to start something. Mm-hmm. For me, that would take me into a next point, which I think is really neat that you talk lots about when you and I are working on your horse, is that riding isn't the only thing. That, you know, that yes, the horsemanship's going to go into your riding, but tell us a little bit about, you know, how someone like you that was in sport riding their horses, you know, has brought this into your program, mm-hmm. and is still in sport, still doing your sport stuff, but that you can kind of equate it so that it flows into your program and it only makes your ride better that day.
That's right. So you're talking about like groundwork skills and things like that. And so a large portion of Jonathan's program starts from the ground and your foundational skills of working with your horse online on the ground. And when you're doing that, it's not just mundane circles. As you progress, it's all about bend and balance and moving the horse, the entire horse, you know, their shoulders, their rib cage, their hind end, working through the entire body with exercises on the ground that just equate to you being in the saddle. So you can sort of build your skills online or on the ground so that when you get up in the saddle, it's even better, or your horse has an idea of what you're asking to begin with. And so there's so many things that you can do on the ground where you don't even need to be riding, and your horse can get an entire workout from the ground. We also do a lot of long lining skills, which just, again, increase your skills in the saddle and your horse's skills and ability. And working at liberty, you know, it's not necessarily tricks and fancy things. It's building that communication and that refinement with you and your horse and those skills. And it's always focused on making the horse better. So you want the horse to be moving in balance. You want them to have bend and flexion as they increase their skills and ability as well, which just makes them a better all-round horse. So you don't need to be riding to help your horse improve and get those skills. You can work them from the ground and get a lot of great results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great key, because not everybody is a professional level rider, and yet they want to be able to figure out how to do more with their horse. So, you know, the ability to not only do an exercise, but see what it's doing to your horse, which I think for me, seeing Jonathan teach is one of the other things that he really articulates well, is that he's not just, like you say, you said the word mundane circles, because of course, lots of us have been out there where you see people and they're doing, you know, 20 circles around and they're looking around the arena. They're not even paying attention to their horse, yeah. Versus, you know, are you reading your horse? Are you actually seeing what the changes in your horse are? Would you say for you that changes daily, that you're really, you know, focused on one thing or noticing different things every time you bring your horse out?
Absolutely. And that's a part of it too, that Jonathan gives you the skills and sort of the understanding. It's maybe not a skill, but you build that, is being able to look at your horse to see what they need that day. We know with horses that they can be different. Every day they come in and we bring them in, they could be different, right? And so on that day, you meet your horse where it's at, and what do they need that day? You know, do they need a day where we just do some trotting today and get their brain engaged and move around and release some tension? Or do we need a real mental day where we sort of get a bit technical and do a lot of body movements where it's technical and very brain engaged? And so it's a variety, and every day for me is different. It's not the same thing every day. You could do groundwork one day, groundwork and then ride. There could be long lining. It's a variety, which mixes it up for the horse, gives them variety in their everyday work. I think it builds confidence in them as well. And so you just meet your horse where they're at that day and say, what do they need from me today? What sort of things can we work on today? Maybe you had a plan that day on something that you were going to work on, a specific exercise or something that you wanted to do, and you bring your horse in, and within the first 5 minutes you realize, we're not going to get through this today. If I start sort of pressuring that, we're not going to be productive. And so you have to change your game plan and say, okay, maybe we need to do this. And so it gives you the ability to see that in your horse, feel that in your horse. And then as a human, because it's hard for us to sort of stray from that path and predator nature to say, wait a minute, my horse needs this today. You know, I have to let go of this idea mm-hmm. and go do this.
Yeah. I like that thought process of having to let go of what our intentions are and working with what they need as well. I think that's a good point, because one of the questions that we are going to be asking all of our trainers or when we're doing these little sessions on different disciplines is, you know, is there any specific repetitive injury type things that you see or that we feel as body workers constantly within the tissue because of the repetitive nature of doing our disciplines? But from hearing you talk, really, there is no day is the same, that everything changes. And so that there isn't that chance for that repetitive strain to continue to happen and then cause potential injury.
And how many levels are there in the program? You're at the highest level there is, right?
His foundation is built on levels sort of 1 through 5. And so you start with course 1, work your way up through 2, 3, 4. And then 5 is sort of like the ultimate goal that we all as riders and horse people should have. And I'm at sort of camp 4. And when we say that, you're always sort of working through the levels because they're all tied together. So even if you're working at like a level 4 level, you still go back down to course 1 to work on your basics, because you never forget those. But the ultimate goal is to get to that level 5. And that's where you're putting your horse to challenge, to purpose, to go do whatever it is you want to do. And that's when your horse is ready to go sort of take on the world. You have all the skills, you have the abilities to say, I want to go do this today. And you can go do it. And not to say that you can go do everything at that point, but the ability that you're prepared enough to go try it. And if it doesn't go well, then you have the skills to go back down to find out where those gaps are, to work on them, to sort of move forward. So you might be working at a course 3 level, but that doesn't mean that that's just where you're at. You're always sort of like flowing through the levels to see what you need to work on for maybe better shoulder movement, maybe better balance, whatever that may be that you're working on to help your horse do better the next time you want to go do challenge or put that horse to purpose. So mm-hmm. That purpose being your dressage test, your jumping round, your roping, whatever that may be, that's your challenge and your ultimate goal. And then you find out where you're at, and then you sort of go back down the levels and say, well, we didn't do this super great, so let's work on this exercise to help build from there. So yeah, as you progress through the levels, you're building more skills, getting more tools on refinement and the ability to sort of work through those things. But you're not just always in that level, you're always moving through them up and down to continually improve your horse and yourself.
Right. Yeah. Referencing back to that foundation.
That's right.
It's building on. Yeah,
that's right.
That's cool. And what would you say to people that, you know, have heard of horsemanship before, maybe are looking through some of the different teachers that teach it? What draws you to Jonathan as a teacher, and what keeps you in this program continually?
I would say what draws me to Jonathan is his ability to connect with people. He's a very, very great speaker to explain exercises, to explain things behind it. Very good mentor and instructor on the ground to help people. And he's solely engaged for the purpose of the horse. He wants all the horses to be better. Of course, helping the humans to help the horse, because without us humans knowing what we need to do, we cannot help the horses. But he's such a wonderful instructor and mentor with his personal skills. I'll say his presenting skills to keep you as a learner engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, he recognizes different learning skills and the way people sort of work through things. And so that really keeps you as a learner engaged when you can sort of connect with someone on a personal level, being able to understand and work through that as a learner, because we're learning things as people to help the horse and then apply it to the horse. And his style of teaching, being able to connect with people on that personal level and then, you know, share his experiences, his learning, and show it, truly just keeps you engaged. And you see the results and the outcome. But his biggest thing, and I think as horse owners or horse people, is he wants the horses to be better. That is truly what he cares about, is the life of the horse and how that horse is. And, you know, that's so important, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, huge.
So important.
Yeah.
Great insight from a rider who has been working with a great wellness team of professionals with her horse, but knew that during that clinic, something was very wrong. As owners, listening to those little moments our horses show us when they aren't performing to their best is critical. It could be a pain issue. It could be a postural imbalance, not allowing for symmetry and movement. It could be our own nerves they're reacting to. So many possibilities. But if you've checked all the factors, as Alan had, then there is something else yet to be explored. In her case, her horse truly was fearful of the situation he was being asked to work in. Fear is a real entity that causes physiological changes within the body and can be felt, just as we would feel muscle knots. That tension is there for a reason. Body worker needs to be aware of the emotions, the nutrition, the stresses, all the factors that each horse is being exposed to in order to gain a full picture of how we can help address the soft tissue issues fully. Again, going back to understanding the importance of a wellness team surrounding your horses, which includes a professional body worker that can help read the whys around the tension in your horse, which is outside of their normal. In having that open conversation between all team members, we can work at determining the underlying causes and help both horse and rider achieve success. Thank you for listening to this episode. We appreciate each rating and review you can give to help grow this podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook under Equine Body Talks, or connect with us by email at equinebodytalks@gmail.com. To learn more about courses by InHand Equine Therapy, please follow them on Instagram and Facebook as well, and their online course platform at inhandequinetherapy.podia.com. Remember to always be an advocate for your horse and not be afraid to open the conversation around your horse's wellness team.